Today we're talking about a man and his wife, and we're also talking about these same issues at church on Sunday right now. The next 3 weeks, the sermons will be also about marriage. But look there, if you will, at 1 Peter. Now this, if you studied your Sunday school lesson last week, this verse was in your Sunday school lesson, I think. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of grace, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So the key verse in learning how to live with your wife is 1 Peter 1:7. We know Peter was married because Jesus healed his mama-in-law. Okay? So Peter knows something he's talking about. So this idea, what is translated in an understanding way, literally means according to knowledge. It calls upon a man to live with his wife according to knowledge. Now he's referring not to just knowledge of life here. He's talking about knowledge of Scripture. And he's telling us, if you want to be wise, get your opinion about how to live with a woman, not according to what you think, not according to what you heard in a locker room when you were growing up, not according to what you read in Playboy. You get how to live with a woman from Scripture. That's your key. Okay? And you need to do that because she's a woman. You're not. You don't know how she thinks. But the Scripture does. God knows all things. And so we get how to live with our wife in an understanding way according to the knowledge of the Scripture. And then be there. Grant her honor. This is one of those things that men don't do with their wives. It is very easy, because she is a weaker vessel, for you to dominate her, to intimidate her, to push her around. When you do those things, you're not living with her according to the knowledge of the Scripture. When you fall back to that, you are now following what we've talked about the past several weeks, the manhood of Adam, not the manhood of Christ, okay? Because remember, in the curse, she was told that she would be subject to you. But in the manhood of Christ, you are going to honor her. And as you honor her, you're going to see her respond to you differently. And the reason we honor her according to this Scripture is she's a co-heir, an heir of the grace of life. She's a co-heir with you of the grace of life. That's your reason why, if you need one. You shouldn't need one. Scripture says honor, that ought to be all the reason you need. But if you need further reason, you honor her because she is a co-heir. Remember, we talked about way back when, as we started this, I think Joey's got all this on the podcast, that God created male and female, created He them. She's in His image too. She is valued by Him too. So you do this because she's a co-heir. Now, there are two modern views of marriage that we want to talk about today. The first one there is a top-down traditional. This is the one that we need to be careful with. It's real easy today in our political environment to tell people that you're for traditional marriage. But when you use that word traditional, everybody doesn't hear biblical. Okay? Traditional doesn't necessarily mean biblical. There are a lot of things that were traditional that's still wrong. And when some people hear you use the word traditional, they hear the word pain. Because if you really think about the first Adam, and you think about traditional, you get a bad picture. So look over there at Luke on your listing sheet there. Luke 22, Jesus is talking about how the world does things. And he says, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus is giving us a different model. He's telling you the world lords it over them. The world's a top down, okay? So that's why when we say top down traditional, we're talking about the world's view. Another way of looking at that might be Archie Bunker. You know, some folks, to them, that's when they say traditional, that's what they think. And Archie always was treating Edith and always calling her a dingbat. He's not treating her with honor. He's not showing her respect as a co-heir with Christ. So that's what we mean by that. Now, there are four words there on your listing sheet. The first one is position. In the top-down traditional model, the man, his position is king. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the old Honeymooners TV show. Jackie Gleason, he would say that he was king of his castle, right? And that he would, remember he used to tell his wife that he was going to give her, you know, pow, one for the kisser, okay? Well, that's that idea. That's that same top-down traditional model. So the position of the man in that relationship is king. The leadership style that the man is executing there is lord. The wife in that kind of situation is supposed to be the one who bows down and says, you know, yes, Your Majesty, what's next? The goal in this relationship is to personally receive the benefit. The man is seeking to personally receive benefit. And the wife is trying, she's almost like an employee. She has a relationship with this man, but he's her benefactor. So she's looking for benefits. What do I get? You know, it's like you go get a job. What's in it for me? Am I going to get paid? Am I going to get benefits? Do I get vacation? Do I get retirement? I mean, you're interested in all those what's in it for me ideas. So the wife in this relationship, as good as it can get, is, okay, what do you give me? Because it's that king and lord idea. And the key phrase in this idea is Jesus tells us this kind of thing should not be so among you. This is not the way we're supposed to live. This is not what Jesus wants us to do. So top-down traditional, that's the idea. Now, the next idea is 50-50 mythical. And you hear a lot of people talk about, well, yes, my wife and I, it's a partnership, 50-50, straight down the middle. Well, notice I put the word mythical to that. I don't believe that that's biblical either. Did Jesus serve us 50-50? 100-0, right? So that's not the biblical model for marriage. So let's look at this. The verse that they use to say this is why you should do this is Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. So the same idea here. Now the position in this model is sameness. Everybody's the same. Everybody's equal. Sameness. And think about what's happening today in our society. That's what they want. They want there to no longer be a distinction between male and female. They want everybody to be the same. And that's wrong. If you got a little girl and you got a little boy, you know that they're nowhere near the same. They're different animals. Different animals straight out of the womb. They have different interests, different likes, different dislikes, different personalities. They think differently, different hearts. So sameness isn't the right thing either. The leadership style here is equality. I'm sorry. That's not the leadership style. Hand me your thing. Yeah. None. That's right. None. There is no leadership style. Because we're equal, we shouldn't lead anybody. Everybody will figure it out on their own. They don't need any leadership. And that's wrong. Think about that. Think about how you benefited from somebody leading you as a young man. There's a time and a place for leadership, and there's a time that everybody needs it. So that's none is is not what we want. The goal is equality. Everybody's to be equal. That's the main thing. That's all that we want, is everybody to be equal. And again, that's wrong. We're not equal. We should all have equal opportunity, but there's no way you're going to be equal. Some people have more gifts than others. Okay? There are people who have music ability that's never had a lesson. They were born with it. It's a gift given to them by God. My brother-in-law has a gift for mechanics. Every toy they ever gave him, he took apart, put back together, okay? First car they got him, he took it apart before he ever drove it, put it back together. And he's just gifted that way. I'll never forget, I don't know if you know anything about the sewing industry or the sock industry, but in Fort Payne, Alabama, that's a very prominent, or it used to be, very prominent thing. And my father-in-law took in trade on a job a box of machine parts from a sock mill. And my brother-in-law put them together. He'd never seen a sock machine. And he's taking these spare parts and putting them together to make a sock machine. And he took me, and the reason I know this, he took me with him to a sock mill. He wanted to see one before he finished because he could decide, he wanted to know whether to put the tube horizontal or vertical. He said he could figure a way to do it either way, but he didn't know which was the best way. So he wanted to go see one before he did that. I mean, that's a gift, okay? So we're not equal. We're not equal, and we never will be. The key phrase of this leadership style is, we're all one in Jesus Christ. And that's true for salvation. Everybody's the same for salvation. But the context of this passage isn't marriage. It's salvation. Other places, God is clear about what the role of a man is in marriage. So let's look at the biblical view of marriage. Excuse me. I've been cultivating this frog in my throat now for about 3 days. So the biblical view. We're going to talk about there on your listen sheet, core responsibilities, the core roles first. There are three things we'll talk about. We're only going to talk about two of them this morning. Core roles, core responsibility, and core concerns. And when I use the word core, what I'm really talking about, this is something that is a fundamental responsibility that the husband and the wife choose for themselves before God. And though it is a core responsibility or a core idea, it's still a small, but it's an essential part of who they are in their marriage. It's not all that they'll do. It's not all that they're involved in. It's only a small part. But if they build around this foundation, then it'll be like the spokes on a wheel. You know, the hub is small, but it keeps everything else in line, okay? So the core roles. First, let's look at her. She is to be the helper. There are only two words given to us in Scripture for the man and the woman in marriage. Hers is helpmate, and his is head. So we're going to see those two as core roles. So as the helper, what that really means is servant lover. Servant lover. In Titus 2:4, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So she in the relationship is the servant lover. Now remember, I said it's a core responsibility. So we're not saying she's got to be a stay-at-home mom. But we are saying she will be a worker in the home. Women get their identity from the home. I call it nesting. You ever move to a new home and watch your wife? She's going to nest. It's who she is. You see this when they bring a new baby home from the hospital. The nursery room that you have to have and the way that they're nesting. That's a part of who they are. Okay? It's being a worker at home. It's not all they are, but it's a significant part of who they are. So the idea is she is to love her husband, love her children. Notice that the older women... This is, if you read this in context in Titus, one of the duties given to the older women in the church is to help train and teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home. So this idea of being the helper, servant, lover doesn't come naturally. Some women have to be taught this, okay? So that's a part of what we want to know. So you and I need to see that as we relate with her, that she is a servant lover. She's to be the helper. Now you, as man, you are to be the head, which means servant leader. Now, being the head in Christ is different than being the head of a corporation in the world. Servant leadership is different. In Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and he is himself its Savior." So head means servant too. And when you take this model, the biblical model, the husband as head, that doesn't mean he's the dictator. He's not the king. He's not the Lord. He's a servant leader. So yes, you can do the dishes. Yes, you can help around the house. Yes, there is much for you to do. And you as the servant leader will be finding that to do, because your goal is to love her. Your goal is to honor her. Your goal is to treat her as your co-heir in Christ, as we began, because living with her appropriately is going to help you spiritually. You can't live with her inappropriately and not be affected spiritually. So if you want to be right with God, you're going to have to live right with your wife. And the way you do that is treating her as the servant leader. So that's our huddle for this morning.